Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's a very long time ago I did any of that, did my degree. And also, I think one of the things that keeps coming up with this topic, in particular with empires, people go, why didn't they teach me this at school? And the thing is they probably did. You just don't remember because you don't remember anything you were taught at school. And in the same way that I don't know any physics, people don't know anything about they don't know about the British Empire.
So you're not going to take the carrot I just offered you in order to boast about your, you know, credentials for embarking on an epic history project like this?
No, absolutely not. No. The thing I'm really interested in is where history sits in people's imaginations and in culture. And the empire is definitely one of those sort of historical things that, you know, it's not like talking about the Civil War. It's a thing that supposedly, or the Tudors, heaven help us, it's one of those things that sort of shapes the world we live in and our culture and all that sort of stuff. So that's why I think comedians rather than historians are the people to talk to about this. You could talk about the history, but then where does it sit in people's imagination? And that's why we went to the countries we went to with a comedian from each of those countries. To say, hey, I didn't know that. And often enough with our four contributors, I've never really thought about that at all. The British Empire is not something that features in my mind one bit, which I think was a really interesting thing to discover.
First of all, to the comedian point, you know, as a middle-aged white woman, I can only tell you that it's a source of great frustration that men of my demographic are constantly sent off around the world to do these amazing trips. And very few women, I could count them on one hand, are allowed to do similar. So first of all, I think I have to demand that you justify the reason why comedians are such a good cipher for a big epic topic like this.
Because if it were a program with just historians, there would be a sort of it would descend into some chin stroking, and it would be a terribly serious program. And I always think that, you know, a good way to learn things is through the medium of entertainment and being able to laugh about stuff and all those sort of important things that make you stick to a subject. I think being entertained by it essentially. And I think comics are good for this because they know what's going on. So if you're going to ask a South African where does British Empire sit in his imagination, you could ask a politician and they'd give you their politician's answer. But ask a comic like Layusa Gola, who we took to the. I mean, one of the amazing things we did with him, because in my generation's imagination, Zulu is a big factor in thinking about South Africa. Nelson Mandela, apartheid, and Zulu with Michael Caine in it. Zulu's thousands of them, that thing. We took him there and he's saying, what on earth are we doing here? Why are you wasting my time bringing me to some battlefield from that you've watched in some film when you were a kid? What is this? And that in itself immediately made one think again about what was going on, what the Zulu War was, what the British are doing there, but also how is it possibly relevant to his life now in modern South Africa and with the challenges they have. And that was to actually have that, you know, made to happen to me was a really, really great way of opening my eyes to it, rather than a historian saying, well, of course, over here you've got the infantrymen in this building, like the sort of his bare bones history version of it.
Obviously, empire is a perennial subject of enormous interest. We're doing a lot of self-beating about the topic at the moment. So it's very much a subject du jour. What did you think that you could bring to it that perhaps hadn't already been scrutinized? What did you learn in the process of making it? And also, what was your purpose in sort of juxtaposing your pub landlord with his kind of bulldog views.
Yes.
Really funny and totally inappropriate, obviously.
Yeah.
With your more sensitive exploration of the legacy of Empire.
Well, the pub landlord's really useful because he can pop up and go, you know, everyone should be grateful for the trains we gave them and all that sort of stuff. And so to sort of put that side of the argument across, as it were.
Are you saying that it's the common man's argument?
No, I wouldn't dream of saying it's the common man's argument. I'd say it's there is a mindset, and that's not necessarily one that that occupies the common man. I mean the thing I think that's really interesting about the debate about Empire is, like so many debates that we have at the moment in our discourse, is there's two loud groups of people who sort of lob rocks at each other, and how many, what proportion of the population they actually represent, I don't know, but they're, you know, you never the twain as well in the way they argue about the thing. We'll ever meet, and they'll never compromise. They're set in the way of looking at it. And then I think there's absolutely everyone else who probably don't know about the subject much, or what they do know, they think, it's quite difficult and conflicted, this. So the pub landlord sort of represents one mindset, but he's a good way of hopping off with a topic. You know, what we really found is that in the four different places we went to, and I had a terrible spring of saying, no, really, I have to go to Jamaica next week. I'm sorry, darling. I can't do the school run on Wednesday. I'll be in Sydney. So I had quite a lot of that going on. The four different stories we found were completely different, wildly different. The difference between India, Australia, Jamaica and South Africa. It was just each of those stories, the way things played out, what was going on in the pot of all these things all stirring, these events all stirring alongside each other. They're all completely different. So to have a one-size-fits-all way of looking at the British Empire would lead you to drawing, I think, not really understanding what went on at all. And it's nowhere near as interesting if you're just like, well, it's, you know, it's all one thing, and it's all automatically terrible. It's a more complex story than that's the other thing I really struck by, is how different what we talked about in Jamaica was to what we talked about in South Africa. Wildly different.
Yeah, except I was really struck by it. There was one point in the India program where you were talking about the fact that, you know, tea was imported from China and then, you know, grown in industrial quantities in India. And that all for the purpose of someone British sitting, having afternoon tea and sipping this beverage that came from the hands of indentured workers in India and was seasoned or sugared by sugar from slaves in Jamaica. And you know, that in a way, that just summed up how bad Empire was and how appallingly badly we behaved in our own interest.
Yeah, exploitation sitting firmly and squarely in the middle. But what's different, you know, in Jamaica, you have an island that is full of enslaved people, a tiny British colony who basically are sitting on a powder keg, as it were. And in India, what you've got is you know, pre-existing empires and nations and princes and the Mughal Empire, and the British arrive and sort of do a forceful corporate takeover, and then sort of exploit pre-existing sets of stuff rather than setting anything up, which is what they in Australia, they set a thing up, and the people there are basically treated as though they don't exist. And then in South Africa, what you have is the Boer colony and the British interaction with the Boer colony trying to overpower that. And then how they factor the African nations into the what that delivers. And those are all very, very different stories. They're all driven by the core thing of exploitation and control. You're absolutely right. But the way the stories play out are very, very different. And that was the thing I was really struck by. And what's also very interesting is that the imperial centre, the British, are thinking, well, what worked in Canada will work in South Africa. And of course, the completely different places. That even at the time, they had a one size fits all idea about it that was wrong.
There are shades, dare I say, of Monty Python and, you know, what have the Romans ever done for us? Particularly during your Indian odyssey, I felt, you know, because it was like, yeah, well, there was trains and there was, you know, education and there was, you know. And actually, I wondered if you had found in the end of your odyssey anything positive that Empire had brought.
Well, the extraordinary thing is Anubhav Pal in India, he is a massive fan of the British. He loves the British. He loves British culture. He loves the idea of the rule of law and of parliament and of separation of, you know, justice and the state and all that sort of stuff. He is, and given everything we talked about, I found that genuinely surprising. And you know, I didn't go away patting myself on the back about it, though. I didn't take that as a sort of win, but I was very, very surprised by that, and sort of wrong-footed by it in a strange way. And yet in Jamaica, that, you know, the fact that Jamaica looks to America now and doesn't see itself looking facing Britain at all, really. That's the impression I got. I found that really, really interesting. It's that, you know, for all the history that Jamaica's had with the UK, with Britain, with the British Empire, actually, there's another place to look now.
But isn't there a salutary lesson there, in a way, to us in the UK, that we think that we are at the epicenter of everything, and whether it's people loathing us or becoming independent in order to get away from us, or that people are thinking about Britain all the time? And one of the things that seemed pretty clear to me throughout this series is that all of those nations are just getting on with, lives that are now completely disengaged with the UK, and we don't matter.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Precisely. And in a strange way, in Australia, I really found that I was like the Martian turning up and saying, explain this to me, rather than the Brit checking in on where things had ended up since we left. It felt like a completely, I was actually able to sort of, in Australia, most of all, look at things in a kind of the most dispassionate way, perhaps, which I was, again, I was really, really surprised by. Although I've been there a lot, though, so I've been to Australia quite a lot. So my attitude to it wasn't as fresh as the other countries where I'd never been before. You know, it's my first encounter with Jamaica, which I think was an amazing place. And also you then get into with India. We went to Calcutta. We went to Darjeeling. India's gigantic, it's colossal, and it's a vast patchwork quilt of lots of different things. So the idea, in a way, that we have wrestled India to the ground in a 50-minute history entertainment program is perhaps fanciful.
talk to me then a little bit just about the sort of, I suppose, the responsibility that comes with it, and the fact that you're tackling what is a complex and emotive in the series. Yep. And I wondered how much you worry about the sort of fetid atmosphere at the moment. I mean, you talked about the sort of polarization of views. We obviously live in a world that, particularly at the moment, sadly, with the headlines, that is very much framed by extreme views that are very, very far away from each other. Do you think about that? Do you worry about that? Do you think that you have a responsibility? Do you think your responsibility is actually to provoke people into questioning what they're thinking?
To the first half of the question, no. I've been doing a stand-up act for a really long time that has upset people along the way, and I've never cared about that. it's not a thing that I lie awake at night worrying about at all, really. And that's come with having been around a really, really long time and realizing that worrying about this sort of thing would mean in the end, not all right, I won't bother telling jokes then. In that case, it's how I end up feeling about that. I mean, I also just sort of think, really, with this program, people should make their own minds up. Comedians keep being told, we keep being told by the people that tell comedians things, that we're supposed to tackle difficult subjects and talk about hard stuff. So here we are doing it, you know. So if people don't like that, then they did tell us to do it.
There's a lot of institutional cowardice out there, isn't there? And someone like you, who's, you know, extremely successful, you know, a household name, you carry both a degree of power, but also a degree of focus. And I think, you know, one of the things about the whole sort of cancel culture thing is the people it really impacts on are the people who can ill afford to lose their livelihood or look elsewhere.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. And you know, I've carved out my space, and I did my bad taste jokes when I was younger and all that sort of thing. So I've you know, made room for maneuver for myself. But absolutely right. It's the people for, you know, starting out who are most likely running the maths, as it were, on what they can and can't do. But then when I started out, you know, I started doing stand up in like 1991, and we were well in the wake of the very left wing, relatively not very left wing, but left wing alternative comedy, where you know, Margaret Thatcher was a punchline and all that sort of stuff. And so there was a kind of fashion for that at the time. I mean, what would, you know, I always tend to think in the end that particularly with comedy, these things are fashions rather than edicts.
But how important is it for comedians to continue to speak out? Because I would argue extremely important.
Well, yeah, I mean, those that are the kind that speak out. I mean, often the other thing that happens with these arguments about what comedians can and can't say is there's a whole load of comedians who do puns. What are they meant to do?
Retire.
Well, no, you know, I mean, I some of the funniest things I've ever seen are not comedians who are like telling truth to power and all that sort of stuff. They're just really, really funny, and they make you think life's absurd and grand and ain't life swell and the world's a mad place and all that sort of stuff, which is just as important as us trying to do an entertainment program about Empire or whatever.
What about your pub landlord then? Would you say that, as you said earlier, he's been around for 30 years and, you know, arguably emerged in, I would say, probably a more innocent time. Do you think that what he represents and who he is have changed over those three decades?
What happened is his concerns were fringe concerns when I first started doing him, being sort of obsessed with the EU, for instance. That was one of his, he was obsessed with all sorts of other stuff, but that was one of the things.
He was an early voice of dissent, wasn't he?
Well, yes, exactly. In a way, you know, it's an ill wind that blows no one any good. I was rendered topical by events.
Wasn't your biggest challenge, though, when Nigel Farage tipped up on the scene? Because suddenly it was like there were two pub landlords in the
house.
Well,
it was when I ran in Thanet. That was the, you know, what this country needs right now is a man waving a pint around offering common sense solutions was our tagline.
So who came first then? Were you inspired by Nigel?
Well, I don't know who. No, I was waving pints around long before anyone had heard of Nigel Farage. But I mean, you know, life imitating art, imitating life, imitating art.
Now, I know that you've told me that your academic experience is way in the past, but you've written books on the Second World War. And I just wondered, as someone with a clearly huge interest in history, just what your feeling is at the moment listening. I mean, I listened with just enormous dismay the other morning to three voices on our breakfast radio show here at Times Radio, you know, one from Hamas, one from an Israeli minister and one from the Lebanese ambassador. And it just sounded like it could have been 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago.
I'd agree with that completely. I think a lot of us thought when the Cold War ended that we would be past that. But there, you know, there is a new Cold War between the US and other states like Iran and Russia, I think, is essentially kind of what's going on, I think. So it strikes me that it's essentially intractable, the entire thing. And the problem with intractable problems is that whatever you do, whatever lever you pull, you get an outcome that no one can quite expect or deal with in the future. It does feel like we are in the grip of a world crisis, though, right now.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.